I do feel the presence of the Lord in the house in an awesome way today. And I want you to know that there's nothing that you've gone through this week or going through right now or even going through next week that God doesn't already know about. He hasn't already taken into account how you're going to get out of it. You just need to come into agreement with Him and His Word that He is able. Amen. Thank you, Father God. Lord, we just worship You. Thank You for Your presence in this house right now, God. Thank You for Your Word that destroys, break up, do away with the anointing of that Word, Lord. Breaking every yoke in the name of Jesus. Thank You for every person that's here today, God. They're not going to leave like they came. They're going to leave changed. They're going to leave today with a renewed hope, a renewed persuasion that You are indeed able and that there is nothing impossible with You. Thank You, Holy Spirit. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord God. Your Holy Spirit settling on Your people right now, God. Just pray in the Holy Spirit. I feel like the Lord wants to speak to us right now. Just pray in the Holy Spirit, church. Oh, Reba Makando, Shot, Lord, Reba Basia. Idore Masondo, Shanda do Kondelia, Sore Bashata Tazian Taye. Libreto Samanadila Kondo, Shando do, O Reba Babasia. Nana Neleanto Sondo, Reba Batileanto, Cosande, Eliaso, Reba Shada to Koma Mamma Hosea. Libreta Sande Elianto Shamama Mantelea Sinde Adado Kondo O Sete Reba Babahaya. Lande Ilasito Remamantle Eshete Eramantel So Dake Lidia Santa Aliato Rematilia Shando O Mamasia. Sondo Remama Shando Lade Hesino Koma Mohosaya. Late Remashando Kama Mamasane Lidia Sondo O Reba Siliato Shanda Adia Kando Sima Mamahaya. O Rema Mama Hasaya. For You see, says the Lord, that I love You even with a great love. And with cords of love I desire to draw You unto Myself and to show You great and mighty things, even pertaining to Your own life and even that which I have called You to do in the earth for such a time as this. I've not called You to sit idly back and be silent, but I've called You to be a voice within even the land today, says God. And when the voices rise up contrary to My word that you hear, may hear here and you may hear there, I ask for You to be a voice for Me in the earth to say, no, it's not that way. And even as You begin to speak, says God, I will bring heaven to earth and I will show You My glory. And through You, that glory will be passed on to others. And there will be a great deliverance in the land, says the Lord, because You have chosen to rise up and not be silent in a time like this. Stand strong on My word and know that I have backed You up because of the promise of My word. And when I have said it, says the Spirit of the Lord, I shall cause it to be. So come into agreement with Me, come into agreement with My word and what I would even speak unto you, says God, in your prayer time, in your quiet time, and begin to voice it into the atmosphere, and the atmosphere will be changed because of the word that I have put in your heart and the word that you speak forth even from your lips, says the Spirit of the Lord. And I will cause you to raise a standard up in the land because of My Spirit that resides within you. And when that standard is raised, says God, even when the enemy comes in and he desires to bring havoc and wreck, I will raise up that standard against him and I say no more. No more, and I will come through on your behalf. And you shall be a strong and mighty arm in this land because I have a people that have yet to rise up and proclaim the name of the Lord their God. So stand strong and stand tall and raise your head up high. For I have called you, I have anointed you, and therefore I have equipped you. Be bold in what you are saying. And do not back down or slack down, says God. For I am, and I will be, says the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Kore baba shoto sima mama ndale diaro to kore baba bahaya. Nora diara nono konda dia shema mama mahaya. O dia lise te re mama shondo nana haya. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Holy, holy, oh Lord God Almighty. Thank you for your presence is in this place right now. Thank you for your presence. Settling upon us, God. We ask for the fire of your Holy Spirit now, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Holy are you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Get my paper situated here. This is papers or notes. My notes aren't for the Holy Spirit's benefit. It's for my benefit because I get nervous. Thank God for notes. Amen. Excuse me a moment. Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's just forget about this for a few minutes, okay? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Some of you haven't laughed for so long. There's a difference between a laugh and a good belly Holy Ghost laugh. Amen. And it's Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
We ask it today in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Glory, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The Holy Ghost can do more in 5 minutes than I can do in 30 minutes of preaching. Amen. And He wants to restore unto you the joy of your salvation. Amen. He wants to restore unto you the joy of your salvation. I believe a lot of people have experienced sickness and stuff because they have lost the joy of their salvation. It's been documented fact that laughter brings healing. Amen. And so what happens when things come into our life, the enemy means for it to shake in our faith. That's what he wants to do, is shake in your faith to the point that you quit believing and you don't think it's going to happen for you. It may happen to others, but it may not happen to you, for you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your presence in this house right now. Thank you for restoring unto us, God. Thank you. You know, the house of the Lord is a place for you to begin to open up and to receive from Him and to be free. For the Lord to just move upon you and move through you. And to baptize you again in the Holy Ghost and the fire. And bring that joy back to you. Let Him just settle upon you right now. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Just keep praying in the Spirit, church. Just keep praying in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wherever you're at right now, if you're on the sound of my voice out there listening, you're in this place right now, I want you to know that God has not forgotten you and He's not abandoned you. And even as He said in the word that He gave us, He's drawing you unto Himself with His cords of love. You've not done anything to cause Him not to love you and not to accept you. All you have to do is just receive. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Oh, my goodness. My goodness. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence is in this place. Lord, we just hunger for you. We ask right now, Lord God, that you would fill us with a hunger for you like we've never experienced before. To grab a hold of you and say, we're not going to let you go. We're not going to let your word go until you do what you promised us you'll do. We need revival in the land, Father. And let it start with us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for moving among your people right now and touching them and bringing deliverance. Bringing peace. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I remember a time in my early walk with the Lord, I had gone back, you know, they call it backsliding. I don't know what you call it. I call it not being taught the word the right way. But I remember being very repentant and going before God, you know, because I missed the fellowship with Him. I missed the experience of the Holy Spirit. And I don't know who this is for today, but I remember just couldn't take it anymore kind of thing, you know. And I remember going and just falling down. I said, God, I want to come home. I want to come back home. And, you know, God didn't rebuke me. He didn't say, shame on you. You know. But you know what He said? Whoever this is for this morning, He said, welcome home. Welcome home. And that is what He's saying to you and you out there listening today. That's all you have to do is say, Lord, I want to come home. And that's what He'll do. He'll just say, welcome home. Just like the prodigal son, simply welcome home. You haven't gone too far. You haven't done too much for Him to have stopped loving you and for Him to not say, welcome home. Amen. That is what He's saying to you today. Welcome home. Amen. Thank you for your word today, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles today, we're going to try to minister a word today about being persuaded. The power of persuasion. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 reads, for the which cause Paul is talking to us, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. Punch your neighbor this morning, ask them if they know whom they believe. And you're awful quiet. Yeah. And I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Amen. Hold fast the pattern of sound words or sound teachings. Which you have heard from me in faith and love. I like the way the Amplified Bible reads it. And this is why I'm suffering as I do. Still, I'm not ashamed. I may be going through some things, but I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For I know, perceive, have knowledge of, and am acquainted with him whom I have believed. I hereto trusted in and relied on. Hallelujah. I'm okay. I just feel like a stallion at a just waiting for him to open the door, you know. I'm just like. I would have to wait to camp meeting to return to Joel's place myself. I don't think it's close enough. Do you, Pastor Laverne? Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And I am positively persuaded that he is able to guard and keep that which has been entrusted to me, which I have committed to him until that day. Hold fast and follow the pattern of wholesome and sound teaching, which you have heard from me, in all the faith and love which are for us in Jesus Christ. I'm going to try to teach you today on a message that I want to that I would title, Been Fully Persuaded. You know, what does that mean? How do we maintain the attitude of being fully persuaded when there's things going on around us and we go through stuff and that's to shake our faith? How do we maintain that attitude of being fully persuaded in the midst of bad reports and all of that? The Greek word for this phrase is completely assure. It means convince, to make full proof of. To be fully carried by what we have heard. In other words, fully persuaded. Now, persuaded in the dictionary means to be convinced, means to be influenced, or to won over. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been a Christian and had a relationship with the Lord long enough to have been influenced by the Word, to have been exposed enough to the Word, to experience the power of the Holy Spirit working where they said it couldn't happen, and to have been healed where they said you couldn't be healed, and to know where there's been no hope, there's been hope. In other words, I've been fully persuaded. I have been won over to know that God's word works. Amen. And being fully persuaded don't happen overnight. But as we grow in our relationship with the Lord, as we see God's word really does work. In the face of whatever else is going on, God's word works. Amen. So we've been won over. We've been convinced. We've been persuaded, church, that God's word works. And that God is for us and not against us. Amen. So here in this passage of Scripture, Paul was writing to a young Timothy in training, and he was to encourage him. And Paul was saying, you know, Timothy, even though I'm just paraphrasing this now, even though I have been through a few things, Paul, been through a few things, been through a fiery trial, you know, even though I've been through all of this, and I've become fully persuaded, convinced of the Lord's ability to keep that which I have committed to him, in spite of all the evidence that had come into my life contrary to what the Word said. Amen? And that's the place that God wants us all to get to. to be fully persuaded, to be convinced, an unshakable convincing that God's word works. And you know, he was saying, in other words, Timothy, keep the faith. Don't let your faith be shaken. Keep the faith, Timothy. You're going to suffer a few things. You're going to get some bad reports. You're going to go through some things. But keep the faith. Don't let your faith be shaken by those things that may come. And as Christians, we're told and we're taught to follow those in the Bible of great faith, including Abraham, who says through faith and inheritance, inherit the promises. And Hebrews 6:12 said that we're taught to do this in order that we may not grow disinterested and become spiritual sluggards, but imitators, behaving as do those who the faith by their leaning of the entire personality on God in Christ, in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom and goodness, and by practice of patient endurance and waiting, and are now inheriting the promises of God. Romans 4:20 talks about Abraham, and 21 he says, he, Abraham, did not stagger at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded what he had promised, what God had promised he would do. The one thing that stands out about Abraham's faith when we began to study about Abraham's life was that he was fully persuaded. He was convinced that God would do what he said we do. He may not know how. We may not know how. We may not know when, but God's going to do it again. Amen. If he did it for them, he did it for you, he'll do it for me, and he'll do it for you. Glory to God. But we want to get into the details of making it work. We want to get into the detail of when we want it to work and how we want it to work. Amen. Instead of leaning our total personality on God, as the Word says. And I love what the Message Bible says about this. My goodness, church, get ready. The Message says, when God made his promise to Abraham, he backed it up to the hilt, putting his own reputation on the line. You know, if God don't come through for you, he's a liar. And the Bible says that God's not a liar. Amen. Putting his own reputation on the line, he said, I promise that I'll bless you with everything I have. Bless and bless and bless. You know what this word says? Is Abraham stuck it out and got everything that had been promised to him. When people make promises, they guarantee them by appeal to some authority above them, so that if there is any question, they'll make good on the promise, the authority will back them up. God just told us in the prophetic word from his own voice a few minutes ago, if you'll begin to speak with your voice what I tell you to speak in the land, I'll raise up a standard and I'll back my word up. Amen. My goodness, church. Glory to God. When you begin to speak on God's behalf and it lines up with the word, he will back you up with his authority. Amen. With his authority. When people make promises, they guarantee them by appeal to some authority above them, so if there is any question that they'll make good on the promise, the authority will back them up. When God wanted to guarantee his promises, he gave his word a rock-solid guarantee. My goodness. God can't break his word. And because his word cannot change, the promises is also likewise unchangeable. When God says it, that settles it. Amen. So how do we as Christians in our relationship with God become fully persuaded, to be convinced that if God said it, he's surely to do it? Then how do we maintain that attitude of persuasion? Paul says there when he started writing to Timothy and he began to speak to Timothy, he says, for I know in whom I have believed. In order to maintain an attitude of being fully persuaded, you have to continually know in whom you have believed. In whom you have believed. Paul knew in whom he had believed. That is what made him be persuaded that God would do what he promised. That if God said it, you could take it to the bank. Amen. Believe means to trust in, have faith in, be fully convinced believe, to trust in, have faith in, be fully convinced of, to acknowledge, to rely on. It is more, this is in, I think, Acts, the word wealth. I can't remember what verse it was, a chapter. It says, it is more than a credence in church doctrines or articles of faith. It expresses reliance upon a personal trust that produces results. In other words, my faith is not in new life. My faith is not in you. I believe I could call any of you and you would pray for me and agree with me. But my faith is not in you. Because we all are going to come to a midnight hour in our life when nobody's around but you, God, and the Holy Ghost, and there ain't nobody to call. Amen? That's when you begin to be fully persuaded that when you call upon the name of the Lord, that He's going to back His word up. Amen? That He's going to back His word up. Because there's coming a time when you're going to have nobody standing with you but you and God and the Holy Ghost, and that's all you need. Amen. So the verb form of the word believe means faith. And we talk about faith, being a faith people all the time. Amen. Paul could have said, I know in whom my faith rests in. My faith doesn't rest in the church doctors. My faith doesn't rest in my pastors as much as I love them and I know they'd be there for me. My faith doesn't rest in anything but the word and the word of God alone. Amen. Because it is settled. And I know that I can always go there, and God will back His word up. Amen? So without faith, Hebrews tells us, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe, must have faith that He is. That He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that seek Him. It's coming into agreement with God. Knowing that He has said, and you say that I believe it, and I begin to express that agreement by the way you talk and the way you act. Because if your heart is believing one thing, your mouth is saying something else, then you're going to begin to think that way and you're going to begin to speak that way. And we know the word in Proverbs where it says life and death are in the power of the tongue. And whatever you're speaking, you're going to eat the fruit of whatever you're saying. You know that, church, you've been taught that. Amen. So we began to come into agreement with what God's word says, been fully persuaded, and they began to talk and act like what we have come into agreement with. Amen. To maintain the attitude of persuasion is to pray like you already know it's done. You know, when you go into prayer, it's not begging God to do something He's not already promised you to do. Prayer is simply conversation with God and agreeing with what God has already said, and then waiting for that manifestation of it. Glory to God. So you don't pray to see what will happen. You pray because you know what is going to happen. Somebody missed that. You don't pray to see what will happen. You pray because you know that it's going to happen. Amen. Glory to God. As Brother Scott said, knows from the beginning to the end, we're called to walk out the middle and we don't know it, but we already know the end results of it. It don't make sense. There's a lot of stuff that God does don't make sense, but I choose to believe Him anyway. Amen? Because I know He's got my back. I know His authority will back me up. Amen? James chapter 5 tells us that Elijah was a person just like us, but when Elijah prayed, he prayed for it not to rain, it didn't rain. He prayed like it was already going to happen, and it happened. Then he said he prayed again. This time he prayed for rain. He prayed like it was going to happen, and it happened. It rained. And it produced the fruit of the earth that it was supposed to produce. Amen? So it says, the verse 6 tells us in James 5, that the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much. Amen. So you are in right standing with God. And when you pray, your prayers avail much. And that will cause you to have an attitude of persuasion. When you see God begin to work on your behalf in spite of what else is going on, glory to God. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Verse 13, Paul tells Timothy that he is to hold fast to the sound teaching which he has heard from him. In other words, don't let go of what you've been taught here. Because pastors, I know that well enough, they don't let anybody behind this pulpit that they don't know that will not teach the Word of God. And we have some of the best teaching from these two here that you can ever hear. So hold fast to that which you have been taught, because it is the Word. Amen. And you will become fully persuaded that God will do what He said He would do. Hold fast to the sound teaching which He has heard from Him in faith and in love. You know, to be fully persuaded that God will be faithful to His Word is to know that God loves you unconditionally. Because until you come to the place to understand the love of God, you're not going to be able to receive for Him, because you're constantly going to be watching your back. You think He's out to get you, and the things that are happening to you is bad stuff, so therefore He mustn't love you. But the more I begin to understand, to comprehend, and to receive the love of God, the more faith I have to believe, the more I understand the Word, because of God's great love. And He told us a while ago with cords of love that He was going to draw us unto Himself. How does He do that? By us beginning to see Him working on our behalf time and time and time again. So, you know, the Bible says in Romans, can anything ever separate us from the love of God? All this stuff that happens, these fire trials and bad reports and all this stuff, can anything like that separate you from the love of God? You may walk away from it, but you know what? With cords of love, God is slowly drawing you back and drawing you back and drawing you back. Amen. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean He no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity? Or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced, the Word says. I am convinced and I am persuaded that nothing can ever separate us, you, me, from God's love. Neither death nor life, angels, demons, fears, today, worries of tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of Christ Jesus in our Lord. So to be fully persuaded and to maintain that attitude of persuasion in our life is, first of all, know in whom you have believed. Make that a sure thing in your life. You can get up in every morning and say, I know in whom I have believed. Whatever happens today, it ain't going to be nothing that me, the Holy Ghost, and God can't handle. Amen. I know in whom I believe. Therefore, I am persuaded. And the second thing is to know the love of God. It's to know that God loves you, and whatever is trying to shake your faith, it's not God trying to get you. It's not because you've done something so terrible that wrath is suddenly falling on you. Amen. It's the enemy trying to shake your faith and cause you to quit praying. And the third thing is to have a persuasion and be fully persuaded is to pray like you know that it's already happened. Amen. In other words, pray like the victory's there. Pray like you have victory. Don't be moaning and groaning. Amen. So maintain an attitude of persuasion. Know in whom you have believed. Have an attitude of prayer that it's going to be. Amen. And know the unconditional love of God. If you'll keep those three things, if we keep those three things operative in our life, we will always be persuaded that nothing, nothing can separate us from God. Amen. Do you have anything, Laverne?
I do.
Okay.
Hallelujah. I'm going to just say a little. I got a whole message, but I'm going to save it. It'll take too long. But it's a good one. I'll preach it sometime. But right now I want to say this. I was sitting over there and the Lord showed me something. And He said, you want to know how you can test your spiritual maturity? You test it by seeing what you need besides me. You know, when a little kid's small, the dog's out in the yard, he needs somebody. He starts hollering for daddy, mama, somebody else, come and help me. And the Lord said, Who did Daniel call on to pray for him when he got thrown in the lion's den? He didn't send out word. Now, I'm not talking against this. I'm talking about, even though you ask other people to pray for you, you need to trust God. You're going to get it not because other people are praying for you, but because you're believing the word of God. Now, agreeing in spiritual warfare means that somebody out there praying for you may break a few demonic holds over you. They may knock down a couple of demons that would come in and try to plant something in your head that would cause you to doubt the word of God. But I got to thinking about that, and I thought, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they found out what they were facing, they didn't call all of their friends and neighbors and say, you need to pray for us. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I appreciate all the prayers that you prayed for me this past week. And I pray for you. And I believe God with you. But when it comes right down to it, here's what I'm saying. Not that isn't important, but just like Sister Shirley said, midnight hour comes, there ain't nobody else. What are you going to do then? I mean, you know, I've had situations where there wasn't anybody else. And I didn't come through that and say, nobody called me. Nobody prayed for me. Nobody cares. I'll tell you what, the one that can get you through it cares. And it's not that a lot of the rest of us that are praying don't care. But you see, I know that I can pray for you, but I can't do anything for you. I can pray for your healing, but I can't heal you. I can pray for your family, but I can't save them. But you see, what we do is we turn our faith loose in our prayers and begin to activate the spiritual authority and forces that start to act upon situations. But I tell you what, all of you in here can pray for me, but when the answer comes, I have to believe God did it. And when you're praying for me, I can't put my confidence in your prayers. I have to put my confidence in my God. And I'm fully persuaded that you love me. I'm fully persuaded that you pray for me. And I am also fully persuaded that whatever you do with regard to that, it's God that produces the results. And that's what we believe for. And I tell you what, we don't have to have a prayer competition. Yeah. 10 people pray for it. It happens. Who gets credit for it? God. Huh. Which one of the 10's prayers did he answer? All of them. Who was the key? God. I'm fully persuaded. Now, I appreciate what Sister Shirley shared this morning, and she stirred me up about the joy of the Lord is your strength. And that's the message that I can't preach because it's too long. Hallelujah. Praise God. Be fully persuaded. And in those dark nights, the midnight hour, 2 o'clock in the morning, you really don't need anybody else. It's good to have them. And if they're available, hallelujah, use us. But if you can't get a hold of nobody, you got all you need if you're fully persuaded. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Thank you, Jesus. And you know what being fully persuaded leads to? Being fully persuaded leads to being fully committed. If I'm fully persuaded that God's going to do for me everything that I need done, it will lead to me being fully committed to Him. So, learn to be fully persuaded so that you can be fully committed. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank You for the power that You have released in this place today. For the power, Lord God, that we can walk out of here with. That we can walk out of here, Lord God, knowing that Your word is forever settled in heaven. It'll not pass away and it'll not change. And what You have declared in Your word, You are fully able and willing to do. And Lord God, we set our hope upon that, for that is our authority. We stand upon the word of God and upon Your promises. And we know, Lord God, that in all things we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ who loved us. We are fully persuaded, Lord God, that nothing shall ever separate us from the love of God. We're fully persuaded, Lord God, that there are no power of the enemy that can come and snatch us out of Your hand. We are fully persuaded, Lord God, that if we hold fast the confession of our faith, we will endure until the end and we will receive the promise that You have made to Your people. And Father, I thank You that as we give ourselves to that faithfulness and being fully persuaded, that we then become fully committed. And I thank You, Lord God, for that commitment. I thank You, Lord God, that we don't have to wonder, but we can walk in faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. We don't get moved by what's going on around us. We're only moved by the Word of God. We're moved by Your promises. We're propelled forward, Lord God, by Your promises. If we're not moving forward in Your promises, it's because we don't believe. And Father, I thank You that as we move forward, we see more and more and more of Your power and of Your strength. Thank You, Lord God, for being with us today as we leave this place. I pray, Lord God, for those that were not able to be here today. Lord God, I ask You to bless them. I ask You to stir up in them, Lord God, Your presence. And I thank You, Father, for all that You've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. 6 o'clock tonight. Hallelujah.